Hi, everyone, and welcome to Remaking Tomorrow, a series of conversations about the future of teaching and learning. I'm Ryan Rudzeski, here with Greg Baer, and we're the co-authors of When You Wonder, You're Learning, Mr. Rogers' Enduring Lessons for Raising Creative, Curious, Caring Kids.
This is a podcast powered by Remake Learning, a network that ignites engaging, relevant, and equitable learning in support of young people navigating rapid social and technological change.
And today we have the distinct pleasure of talking with Remake Learning's executive director, Tyler Samstag. Tyler started his career as a special education teacher in New York City, went on to earn a master's degree from Teachers College at Columbia University. He's also a graduate of the Mind, Brain, and Education program at Harvard, where he was an Urban Scholars Fellow, and he's been Remake Learning's executive director since 2020. He's here in the studio with us today. Tyler, welcome to Remaking Tomorrow.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here with you all today.
This seems incredibly exciting, right? I mean, this is a podcast powered by Remake Learning, and we've gotten the chance to talk with some incredible educators and innovators from all over the world. And rarely have we gotten to talk squarely about Remake Learning. And so here we've got the boss in the studio today to talk all about this incredible network.
The guy who powers the network that powers the podcast.
Exactly. Tyler, you've moved back to Pittsburgh, your hometown, in May 2016. And it was during this first week in your new job that you encountered the first ever Remake Learning Days. This is the festival hosted by Remake Learning, a network that you've come to lead. So for our listeners who are unfamiliar, what is Remake Learning Days? And what do you remember about that first festival?
I left Pittsburgh for about 10 years. I taught in New York City, relocated to Boston, left Pittsburgh without really thinking about coming back to Pittsburgh. I came back in 2016 for a position at the Allegheny Intermediate Unit, which is a regional education service agency here in Pennsylvania, for a position called Director of Instructional Innovation. And very much at its core was, how can we create connections in teaching and learning to just continuously push what teaching looks like in the classroom? And so I was in Boston. I took a phone interview for this position, was offered the position. In May of 2016, came back to Pittsburgh a week before, hurried up and bought a car, and I started during Remake Learning Days, the very first Remake Learning Days. And in its first year, it was marketed as the world's largest open house for hands-on learning. And so I remember starting this position, getting this pamphlet that had over 200 events that were taking place throughout southwestern Pennsylvania. I was new on the job, in my cubicle, trying to figure out what it is that I'm supposed to do. And I sat there and I circled a ton of events at different schools, at museums, at libraries. Just was exposed to the incredible thing that is Remake Learning here in Pittsburgh, which I had really very limited understanding of before I moved back here in 2016.
It has since taken root far beyond the Steel City. Can you talk about some of the places you've been lately? There are countries and cities and regions around the world that are now hosting Remake Learning Days festivals of their own. Tell us about some of them.
After a few years of hosting Remake Learning Days here in southwestern PA, there was a desire to see how we could grow this concept. And so Remake Learning Days turned into Remake Learning Days Across America, in which other regions who were interested in replicating this festival of learning started creating their own festivals. And they ranged from San Diego and the West Coast to Philadelphia in Pennsylvania. I think that really solidified that there is interest. There's something really special about this concept of a festival. And when you apply it to learning, there was a lot of interest. 2 years ago, we had folks around the world who were interested in replicating this internationally. And so this past year was our first time seeing Remake Learning Days festivals outside of the United States. And specifically, we had a festival in Christchurch, New Zealand, in Doncaster, England, which is about 2 hours north of London, and in 11 different states in Uruguay.
And why do you think it is that someone halfway around the world in Doncaster, or to our south in Uruguay, or southern Wisconsin, or the folks in Sarasota, Florida, say, we should replicate this and use this for what we're doing in our own communities? What's been the attraction for Remake Learning Days?
We recently put out a publication with WISE focused on learning festivals. And part of that was really dissecting what is so powerful about festivals. And so I guess I could pose to either of you, what is a festival that stands out that you have gone to, that you've experienced in your own life?
I mean, I remember the early years of of Bonnaroo. When I think of festivals, I think, and probably a lot of people think of music festivals. And I remember I could spend all day choosing from a suite of world-class artists. And I could spend my time going from one show to another and just be totally immersed in it for a few days.
Yeah, see, I think of something totally different, something so local, like Aetna, Pennsylvania, a neighborhood here in Pittsburgh hosting a neighborhood festival. And I can smell the food. I can see the neighbors coming together. I can see the curiosities of that neighborhood being lifted up. It's the joy of what's in a place like Aetna or in Millvale or Lawrenceville or other communities that host neighborhood festivals.
So I had the opportunity to ask this question over the past couple months in everywhere from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania to Doha, Qatar. Commonalities start to surface. The first is when you ask that question, people smile. There's happiness associated with festivals. And there are key characteristics of festivals. They're time bound. They allow you to immerse yourself in something. They take you out of the day to day. And these are things that are powerful about festivals and why festivals have existed for hundreds and hundreds, thousands of years. And I think why it has been so effective when applied to learning. It really gets to the heart of what makes learning joyful, what makes it fun. And I think that is the reason why folks have looked to Remake Learning Days and are eager to replicate this in other places.
And Remake Learning Days is really a celebration of the ethos of Remake Learning, the network. So let's come back to Pittsburgh, the greater Pittsburgh region. Tell us about the network itself. What is Remake Learning? Who's in it? What does it do?
So Remake Learning is a network of educational organizations, over 700 organizations across the region. And we use that term educational organizations lightly. And so obviously it's places like schools and school districts. It's libraries and museums. It is institutions of higher education. But it also includes a lot of unorthodox sites of learning. And we welcome those into the network. And the goal is to create a region that we are slowly deconstructing silos between educational organizations. And so how can we create the conditions where people are constantly coming together, building off of one another's strengths and transforming what teaching and learning looks like for young people across the region?
And what you just described, people will sometimes call a learning neighborhood. They'll think of it as a learning landscape. And in international circles, increasingly in domestic circles, people refer to this as a learning ecosystem. So can you talk about Remake Learning as a learning ecosystem? Because people around the world have looked to Remake Learning as one of the foremost examples of a learning ecosystem.
Increasingly, folks are talking about this concept of a learning ecosystem, and I think the COVID pandemic really emphasized the many places where young people learn. And so school absolutely is important, but when schools were shuttered for an entire year, we got to see firsthand the importance of all the other many places that young people are learning. And so I think that's why we've seen increased interest, increased excitement around ecosystems. And for us here, we've been doing this work for 17 years. It started, I think, at a very crucial point of rapid technological change. And so 2007, the first iPhone came out. I think educators were grappling with, you know, what role does technology play in learning? What role should technology play in learning? And by bringing folks together to explore this together, I think really laid the foundation for what would become Remake Learning. I think we're at a crucial point in technology advancement right now that's going to be really interesting. But for Remake Learning, over the years, we've established what we call our 5 C's. It's our network support strategies. And this is kind of really explicitly what those who are working in service of this network or stewarding this ecosystem does to create those conditions. And our 5 C's are: we communicate, we convene, we coordinate, we catalyze, and then we celebrate.
This is Ryan Radzeski along with Greg Baer. We're talking with Tyler Samstag, Executive Director of Remake Learning. Tyler, you mentioned the word excitement a few minutes ago, and I think the thing that excites me most about Remake Learning right now are the Moonshot Grants. These are big, bold ideas that really catalyze, that really shape the future of learning. And I want to ask you about some of the recipients of these grants. But first, can you talk about, first of all, what is a Moonshot Grant? What is moonshot thinking, and why does it matter?
And so as I shared, catalyzing is one of our network support strategies. It has really proven essential to continuously push innovation in the region. if you bring people together really organically, areas of shared interest start to emerge very organically. And you start to think about what if this kindergarten teacher who's sitting next to a roboticist from CMU, what if they came together and created an activity for kindergarten students in the Mon Valley of Pittsburgh? And the catalytic aspects allow people to take a risk. And so the funding, whether it's a mini grant of $500 or a moonshot grant of $70,000, it allows folks to take what otherwise just might be an idea stuck on a post-it note to the wall and to try it. And it might be successful, it might not, but you're going to learn something either way. And so we leaned into partnerships with our friends at KnowledgeWorks, who does a lot of futuring work. They helped us create a whole grant program where the application itself is an exercise in futuring. And so the application very strategically asks applicants to think ahead, think in the future, 10 years down the line. And so very fundamentally at its core, what do you want learning to look like? What do you want it to prioritize? And we asked them to sit in that space for a little bit. Tell us what, if this was the reality, what would it look like? What might a future newspaper headline read? And we provide them the conditions to make this a reality, even if it is just an exercise. Once they start there, they then can start to think about an idea that will hopefully accelerate movement in that direction of a preferred future. And so the grant program itself is designed to be somewhat of an R&D opportunity to test something, to pilot something, again, with the goal that you're creating movement towards that preferred future. And we make it very clear that the preferred future certainly is not the end point, because that's ideally where you want to be in 10 years. But if you're catalyzing movement in that direction, it's really powerful what can happen.
We imagine here you've described schools and museums and libraries and out-of-school time organizations and other sites of learning, hundreds of them involved in remake learning. So Ryan and I are imagining you've gotten them in this space. They're thinking together, asking like, what if, how might we? Mindful of things that are timeless and classic about learning, right? As we think ahead, I would guess there are things we don't want to leave behind, like deep and caring relationships or core content knowledge. And yet there are things we can do to respond to who today's kids are and their futures. So these moonshots take us to those preferred futures for today's kids and what they want, need, and deserve. So give us a concrete example or two of these moonshots. What do they look like?
So it's fascinating. We have been doing this for 3 years. We've funded over 40 moonshot ideas. And so we're starting to see really concrete systems level shifts in those organizations. Not all of them, and that's okay. I think an example that I'm excited about, which is one of the newer grantees, is the South Allegheny School District, a small suburban district in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. Their moonshot really stemmed from a passion project of a teacher that emerged during the pandemic. One of their teachers decided their whole life they wanted to fly an airplane. And so they did that during the pandemic. They took classes and they became credentialed. And so that teacher, through that experience of learning a new skill as an adult, and also recognizing that there is, you know, a need from a career perspective for careers in aviation. And that's not to mention that their school district is just a couple miles from the Allegheny County Airport. They decided to explore the creation of a career pathway for aviation in the school. They partnered with the airport and other professional organizations. They created these flight simulators at the high school. Since then, I know the South Allegheny School District, they are adding a cybersecurity credential. And so taking those learnings of their moonshot grant and exploring how they can replicate that or how they can continue to build off of that, leading to, again, really concrete systems level change in that district.
Are there other moonshots that you can give to us that might be completely different or that would stir our imagination?
Sure. The California Area School District, rural school district in southwestern PA, they were inspired by the concept of individualized education programs, IEPs, that are traditionally offered to students with disabilities. And they are, by its nature, asset-based. You start an IEP by asking a student, what do you enjoy? What do you want to be? And then you create a whole program around that. And so California Area School District built out a program where students all received an IEP, whether or not they called it that. And they created a part of the day that was dedicated to moonshot exploration, where students got to identify what they were passionate about, and they got to explore core content through the lens of the topics that they were interested in. I think of Oasis Farm and Fishery, which is based out of a church community in Homewood, a neighborhood in Pittsburgh. They have this incredible urban farm, and they were really interested in intergenerational learning. And so they created the Learning Village, in which throughout the year of grant funding, there were tons of opportunities for young people to learn from elders in the community, for elders to learn from children, and just to create opportunities where anybody could be an expert, anybody could teach, and anybody could be a student, a learner. And so very different model, very, very interesting. I think of SLB Radio, who partnered with a school, Manchester Academic Charter, which is located in a museum. So again, you think about concrete examples of a learning ecosystem. And the charter school, they created an opportunity for this out-of-school time organization. All students had a block where they experienced the programming from SLB. And they used it to explore, are there different ways that we can think about assessment? So can storytelling be part of an assessment? So I think that excited me because it blurred the lines between in and out of school. And the fact that all students had access to it, I think, was really exciting and something new.
You mentioned these moonshots sort of as exercises in R&D, right? They're experimental. They are risky in some ways, but I think responsibly so. And regardless of the degree to which they succeed or don't succeed, we're going to learn something from them, right? And I think a common frustration around or among educators is the difficulty of applying what we're learning about what works. And Remake Learning has come up with a really interesting solution to that. So your network has organized working groups focused on different topics, things like STEAM education and personalized learning and maker learning. Can you talk about what these working groups are, what they do, who's in them, and what do they ultimately hope to accomplish?
The working groups is part of our coordinate strategy of the five C's, and I think have been some of the most successful ways in catalyzing actual shifts in learning environments. And so as part of an ecosystem, as part of a network, it's incredible how organic, when you start to bring people together, areas of shared interest start to emerge. And so I think a great example is we had a meetup last summer at the Pittsburgh Glass Center, and we had the CEO of a nonprofit. We had an elementary school teacher. We had a professor of human-computer interaction at CMU, and we were around the table eating dinner. And the topic that people really seemed to latch on to that night was entrepreneurship as a pedagogy. And so how might we teach various content through the lens of entrepreneurship, providing students an opportunity to build out a store, a company, a business, and just all the learning that takes place into that. And so as part of the stewards of the network, the folks who work in service of the network, we're constantly trying to identify what are those topics, and those topics continuously change. And so as we start to surface those topics, the very first step might just be to invite people to come around and talk about that. And so, you know, we are going to be launching a new working group around civics. And so a strategy might be to just have a meetup, a civics meetup, where we invite anybody who relates to that to come and to talk to one another. And so that might be the very first stages of just gauging, is there enough interest to really commit to something bigger here? When it becomes clear there is, people will continue to come, you know, on a voluntary basis. And some of the early work that we like to do is asset mapping. And so who is doing what within this space in the region? So let's just spend time to document. And then once you document that, you can start to identify where are there areas of just like a lot happening in the region. So this is like something we're really strong at presently that we could really enhance, or where might gaps exist? And so how might we start leveraging our collective momentum to fill in some of these gaps? That's when the fun begins, because once you better understand the landscape, you better understand the conditions, then you can start asking folks to dream. What if? What could things look like? And then that's when we start to see partnerships, we start to document and tell stories, we encourage folks to apply for grant funding to take these ideas and create actual programming around it.
And you guys pay for dinner.
Food has been just, I think, a big part of Remake Learning, in the sense that it is a great equalizer.
Sure.
And so when you're sitting down next to somebody eating, you know, the crumbs fall into your lap, you are the superintendent of a school district or a teacher who might feel really outside of their comfort zone. And so it creates a kind of humanizing effect that has worked really well for Remake Learning over the years.
So Tyler, these working groups are places where, in a sense, people are breaking bread together. And so why is that important? What's going on in those places?
Sure. So if you think back to the history of Remake Learning, 2007, the introduction of a new technology that was going to have such an impact on young people and how they navigate in the world around them, I think there was this strong desire for folks to explore the space together. What would its impact, or what could its impact be on teaching, learning, and education? And I think right now in 2024, we're at another point of rapid technological change. And so it's been just over a year since tools like ChatGPT came out to the world. And I think there's just this desire to look at it, to explore it, to better understand what its impact will inevitably be on education, but what its impact could be on education. And so the working groups are an opportunity for people to come together around a topic of shared interest, to explore that topic together.
So Tyler, there's so much that you've described in the context of Remake Learning. We talked about Remake Learning Days. You talked about catalytic grants like the Moonshot Grants. You've discussed for us what the working groups are. If I'm a parent or a teacher or a technologist or designer coming to Remake Learning for the first time, like, what is it? Like, help me understand, like, what is this? What's in it for me? How do I take advantage of it?
I think what is a really positive thing about Remake Learning is there is not one way to navigate this network or this ecosystem. We've intentionally tried to create many on-ramps. And so there are ways that you can passively be a member of Remake Learning by reading stories of innovation on our websites and following social media. There are ways to dabble in ecosystem by coming to a meetup and sitting down and eating dinner and meeting somebody. There are ways that you can become much more engaged, whether that's joining a working group or hosting an event as part of Remake Learning Days. And so I guess my answer is that there is not one way, and we invite people to find the best path for them in engaging in this work.
Tyler, we've been having a lot of fun as we begin to bring these podcast episodes to a close by doing something that we love to call the Remaking Tomorrow Lightning Round. We describe, we mention something, and you give us the first things on the top of your mind. Are you ready to play along?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
There's something incredibly social about Remake Learning, and that social aspect, as you just mentioned, is important, right? Like, building relationship is important to movement building, and we oftentimes forget that. So if you were to pull together some folks in the network, and knowing that it's possible you might enjoy some trashy TV and enjoy a good beer now and again, if you were to pull some folks together, what are we watching and what are we drinking?
Okay, I'm going to go really Pittsburgh here. We just began fish fry season here. If you're unfamiliar with fish fry, it takes place during Lent. And so every Friday, church communities and community centers and fire departments, they host these big fish fries. And so we're going to eat fish fry as a way to create connection, as a way to create community. And then there is a documentarian out of Pittsburgh called Rick Seebeck, and he created these incredible documentaries over the years documenting the change in Pittsburgh. And I think every time I've had an opportunity to watch those collaboratively with people, it creates a sense of place, which I think has been really important for Remake Learning, is community and a sense of place.
Okay, see, that was a good answer.
It
and
was
like
good.
Rick Seebeck is
amazing.
If you're
listening,
Rick,
so
he is not part of our trashy TV culture. He does incredible things. Tyler, your favorite Remake Learning Days event of all time?
There are so many. I often go to one that was an event I went to early on when I came back to Pittsburgh. And it was in the Brentwood Area School District, a small suburban school district, a walking school district right outside of Pittsburgh. And they had an event called Acres of Makers that was held in collaboration with their local library and a nonprofit called Handmade Arcade. All throughout this borough, you could go to different sites and there were maker-themed activities. And what stood out to me was just the seamless integration from a school district to nonprofits to library to different places within the community. I think it did just an incredible job at showcasing what a place-based ecosystem truly can look like.
We need more Acres of Makers.
Acres
I
of
love
Makers.
That name.
It was a great event.
Your own most profound learning experience.
I returned to school at 30. At that point, I had been teaching in New York City. I was a special education teacher working in alternative education, and returned to Harvard Graduate School of Education's Mind, Brain, and Education program. And at that point, my experience really was limited to the classroom. And Mind, Brain, and Education, MBE, which it was called, was created by a genius named Kurt Fischer, who put out this idea, what if we bring practitioners and neuroscientists and cognitive scientists and policymakers together to learn in the same place, in the same space? What could that lead to? It pushed me so far out of my comfort zone, and I met so many different types of people that I really embraced, I latched onto, and really kind of sent me down this trajectory of working at the intersection of places. And so that's really what drew me to my position at the Allegheny Intermediate Unit. That's why I immediately fell in love with Remake Learning, because that's very much what Remake Learning does.
Tyler, you were talking about moonshots that others have brought to you and to the team at Remake Learning. What's your moonshot for Remake Learning?
Not to sound flippant, but something that has been so important for me in relation to Remake Learning is this idea of joy. And Remake Learning is fun. And, you know, the day-to-day in education for a lot of teachers and educators might not be fun. And I think Remake Learning centers joy. My moonshot for Remake Learning is to grow, but to never lose sight of the joy and the fun of what makes this work so powerful.
If you could ask Ryan any question, what question would you ask him?
Okay, so you were teaching Louisiana, right? What was your wildest experience while living in Louisiana?
The moment that jumps to mind was we were on Avery Island, which is a nature preserve on the grounds of the Tabasco factory. The McElhaney family has donated lots of land to create this beautiful place where it's exactly what you picture when you picture the Deep South. It's swamps and Spanish moss and really thick vegetation, and there are alligators everywhere. And there are no fences, so you walk through this place and there are just alligators sort of at your side. And a friend of mine, he wasn't very smart, but he tossed, I think it was like a Frito or something like that, to one of these alligators.
Oh, no.
And this thing jumped. I did not know alligators could jump. And almost took my friend's hand off. And my friend is a 6'5" person. And so this alligator must have jumped up to, you know, my shoulder height. And I've never forgotten that moment. That was probably the wildest thing that I experienced down there. It has nothing to do with school or learning or anything. But for our listeners who didn't know, alligators can jump. So keep that in mind when you're around them.
There's definitely a level of learning there.
Something was learned. Speaking of learning, Tyler, how can people learn more about Remake Learning and Remake Learning Days?
RemakeLearning.org is our website. There's opportunity there to sign up for our mailing list. That's our, I think, best way to continuously learn about what's happening in the region. And then RemakeLearningDays.org is our hub, our website for the Remake Learning Days Festival. And you can follow us on social media as well.
Tyler, before we go, just one more question. What's one thing that parents and educators can do today to make tomorrow a more promising place for every learner?
I would say don't stop learning yourself. I think it's a powerful experience to continuously learn as an adult, and it impacts, you know, your impact on learning in general.
Thanks again to Tyler Samstag, Remake Learning's Executive Director. And while I usually read this last line, it feels fitting, Tyler, to ask you to read that last one.
Remaking Tomorrow is powered by Remake Learning. Learn more at remakelearning.org. Thank you.